Blog Talk Radio.
I want to talk about the genocide of a people. Father, open up our eyes that we might see. And I come to you this morning on the 10th. I say. I come on the 10th to say happy birthday, all birthdays. Birthday to you, so little. To all of them have birthdays today. But I come to you to talk about peace on earth, goodwill to all men. I'm concerned about bombs, bullets being sent over to Israel to fight people that have nowhere to stay. The killing got to stop. I was concerned when America didn't say, stop the killing, stop the war. I'm saying, stop the war. The war needs to stop. Ancestors from Dr. Martin Luther King, from all those people, those African people, the 6 million of people that was murdered all over in Africa. We still stop the war. That's important to understand that we need to stop the war and save the babies. Father, open our eyes that we might see the truth. The truth is, man has turned away from God and turned to his own killing machine. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life. The gift of God is power to make the decision. I share our ancestors east, west, north, and south. And I come this morning on the 10th to say that, Father, open our eyes where we might see. I need you to pray. I need you to go and see prayer this whole month. Stop the killing and save the babies. It's important for us to stop the mass murder of innocent women and children across the world. I'm not talking religious. I'm talking about the power of God, the creator of the universe. And God is the creator of the whole universe. I'm talking about the creator. And the creator is the Almighty God. And I want to say to you this morning, God so loved the world, he gave me and you life that's going on in the land. So much of hate and violence that's going on in the land. Some of you that come on the radio, you just want to listen to what's happening and go back and dictate because you're doing evil. Some of you are doing evil. Some of you are liars. And some of you are not right. And because you're not right, people can stop the killing.
Open up.
Tonight, today, this is Sunday. And I want the American should say, stop the war. They shouldn't send no bullets or nothing over to Israel. They shouldn't send nothing. We need to stop the killing of women and the babies. I want to talk about now. I'm going to let some of you listen. God bless you. But I want to talk about in the valley of the dry bones. And we're in a valley of murder, killing. I can't vote for nobody that want to kill little babies and children. I can't vote for nobody that keep lying, saying, this is all right. It's so much of evil that's going on. Exodus 14. Gonna break it. So I want to thank you, those that came to listen. All is well, like Prophet Johnson said, everything is in divine order. So I want to let you know, in the valley of the dry bone, be some people resurrected, and it's gonna open up. Okay, so that's what's gonna happen. So when it be resurrected, it's gonna open the door. God's gonna resurrect it up, and as he resurrected, doors gonna open up. So you get ready for a resurrection, for God to do the resurrection. And I just want you to know that all is Ezekiel had to say, God, I know. We living in Chicago, Detroit, around the world, in dry bones, while children and women being killed, and you don't feel nothing. I feel hurt. So he say we're having a war. Ain't nobody got no guns but you. Over in Ukraine, where they marching, where they fighting, Russians got guns, Ukraine got guns. But when you go over to you go to Israel, everybody got to go for the Jewish people. And they talking about it's a war. It's not a war. It's a massacre. It's a killing of innocent people. That's what's going on. We're in the valley of dry bones. That's why we're in the valley of dry bones.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, yes. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, we told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were with God. Pray with me, please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel, a valley of depravity, a valley of disfranchisement, a valley of hopelessness, a valley of dry bones, a valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient times, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people or a country may mean one thing to one people and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, will it be a day? I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us. And considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. A prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looks beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountains. Social and political mountains. Religious mountains. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the Spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the Spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet with a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, why being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then he led him to the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in battle. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thought-doing service, in a thought-doing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear but way out on the periphery of things, he missed something. Then the Lord led him round and about for that, or took him and encompassed for that, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation. Reminiscent of man's finiteness. Man's humanity. Son of man. Son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. No, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you found highways upon the sea. And you made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Bit of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. Well, we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that the prophet had to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou knowest. I submit myself before you, limited, finite, ignorant and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast the answer. And you know that one thing about God. When we go to him sincerely, when we've been overwhelmed by some problem that we aren't able to grapple with, put it at his feet. Ultimately, if we have faith, he'll give us the answer. He'll work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give the answer. Why, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and gotten a full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, well, he said to him, why, you go out to give you the answer and preach to those dry bones. The Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable thing for me to go out and preach to dry bones. Some of the living soul that I preach to don't respond to me. And what could I expect from dry bones? But the Lord has been to go on out and preach anyhow. You know, God's ways, you know, are above man's ways. And you can't always understand why he orders you to do certain things. But if the Lord orders you, go on anyhow. Why, you may not see it, but there is a way. You may not know what you're doing, but God has it worked out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. And I saw that man go out in that valley. In that valley of dry bones. Of dry bones. Oh, Lord. And stood there. And preached to those dry bones. The Lord had given him a text to preach on. Well, Lord, what can I preach to dry bones about? Oh, Lord. Lord, what kind of subject can those dry bones to hear the word of the Lord? To hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm sure it must have been discouraging sometime for him to stand there day and night and preach in that valley of dry bones. To preach in that valley of helplessness. And in that valley of lifelessness. In that valley of hopelessness. My Lord, to stand there and preach and not be able to see what the result would be. Oh, Lord, but he preached on anyhow. Oh, yes. And then one morning, the valley began to rumble. Yes, it did. One morning, the valley began to shake. And that was a mighty moving around. Oh, Lord. Then one morning, yeah, when he looked around to observe this rumbling, well, God, he saw those dry bones in motion. Yes, foot bones were stretching out, ankle bones, and ankle bones were moving on toward knee bones. Oh, yes, and knee bones was connecting with thigh bones, and thigh bones were moving on toward hip bones, and hip bones were moving toward backbone. Yes, they were. And backbone was joining the shoulder bone, and shoulder bone was tying the neck
headbone. And redbone was tying into headbone. The prophet kept on preaching. Yes, he did. Kept on preaching. Oh, you trouble. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said, wait a minute now. I want you to preach on a new theme. Yeah. I want you to just to wait a little while. And let me extract matter from the universe. Yeah. And let me, all of that matter, to come together and form man's anatomy. Let flesh get on the bone. Let skin begin to cover those skeletons. Oh, Lord. But Lord, all we have now are corpses here, lying on the ground. Turn now and get to the wind. Tell the wind that God will believe the Lord. Lord, Lord. And blow breath into these bodies. Lord, tell the Lord. Tell my word. And that's my solution tonight. That's my answer tonight to every problem that we have. That is to hear God's word. Hear God's word. It's all right. To go to the United Nations. It's all right. To put on an international fellowship. It's all right. To call on the scholar. To call on our businessmen. It's all right. But I tell you what you have better do. Hear God's word. Hear God's word. In word. In word. In word. In word. In a bridge in deep water. In word. In the lamp to your suffering.
Stephen Hawker, Bernard Lyndon, one of the true all-time greats.